your words to us. We'll not live the same way we have come. Thank you for insight. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. It's amazing how important the mother is. I think, and it's amazing how the female gender, how important they are as well. I think we've had Women's Day this month. Abi? International Women's Day, we had one this month. We have Mothering Sunday today. I think May 12, we have Mother's Day, the American one. And there's still one more. I think there are four. No. Wait, let us deal with the women first. And then I know there's Auntie's Day. And then there's the Girl's Day. Girl child. Hallelujah. They're very important. You cannot diminish their importance. Hallelujah. If I want to eat at home today, I must celebrate the mother. Hallelujah. But truly, they're very important. When we are not there, you know who I'm talking about, we. When we are not there, they are always ever present. Hallelujah. They are like God. They are always ever present. It's only that in this generation, they've taught us how to back children. I looked at some pictures of my very old pictures when my children were growing up. I saw myself carrying one at the back and tying because mommy was not around. And they must not miss mommy. Hallelujah. That's how important the work they do is. Amen. And even as a man, I look back and I'm like, wow, I need to go tell my mother sorry for all the wala I gave you. Amen. Because we did not understand that it was for our own good. And it sets the tone for the priorities I was talking about last week. That if you look carefully and you study the life of a mother, you see that it's a life that is full of what you call priorities. Hallelujah. And they do not in any way joke with their spiritual foundation. Amen. I didn't say that coming to church. I'm saying they do not joke with their spiritual foundation. If I would say, who taught me to pray? Then I would say it's my mother. Amen. If I would tell you who taught me to reason and think, book knowledge, is my mother. Hallelujah. Very important. We thank you and we bless you. If we do not say it, know that we know that you are very important. Amen. Even when we are forming, when we are making all the noise, you will still come back. Abi, you will still come back. Amen. But sometimes I warn Mr. Sajiri that if he wants to eat this afternoon, he should behave himself. Hallelujah. Last week I was talking about setting your priorities. And I started from Matthew 23, verse 23. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So it says, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law. So you have paid attention to certain things that are in themselves important, but there are certain things that are more important as well that should be considered along with the things that are important. Hallelujah. And I think I mentioned that Andy Stanley said, we don't drift in good directions with discipline and prioritize ourselves there. So if a direction is good, you don't mistakenly go in that direction. You actually discipline yourself towards that direction. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we were growing up, it was just norm for you to be, for maybe the people I decided to mingle with, it was just norm for us to be classified as naughty. So, we're the ones that would play marbles during break time. You know marbles? Did you play marbles? So, don't worry, one day I'll come and show you how to play marbles. I still have marbles at home. We play marbles, and I'm talking about, this is 1986, 1985. We play marbles during break time. We play table soccer during break time, and then we forget that there's a period after break time. So we play into that period. We play football during break time. And I earned a lot of nicknames when I was growing up. My second nickname was Keeper. So that very day, we went to play football. And we forgot that it was, you know the way football is. It's like a spirit. You keep playing, even when it's dark and it's about to rain, you keep playing. And then we forgot that the next period was here. And when we suddenly remember, we just looked around us and we saw that everywhere was just, we are the only ones in the playground. And then Wahala came, who will carry the ball? Because we can't leave the ball there. We brought the ball from, who will carry the ball to class? Everybody said they won't carry it. I said, I beg, bring the ball. So I carried it, I put it under my armpit. I went to class. Lo and behold, the teacher was there. It was our Yoruba teacher. So everybody, of course, the other boys were going in. And I just walked in. Yeah. So you are their skipper. Amen. I didn't hear the last of that. So the ones that I remember today, they still call me skipper. Hallelujah. But those things tell you what you count as important. Okay? To us at that point, the priority was to play football, irrespective of the timing. Was priority. So I used to mingle. I was always getting into trouble. You know? And then each time you get into that trouble, they don't send for your daddy. They send for your mother. Abby. Send for your mother. So please tell your mother we want to see her. And if your mother is very nice, you won't tell daddy. Hallelujah. Amen. And it says, we do not drift in good direction. Okay? So it's just the tendency for you to always flow is always in the negative direction. Which was this thing I was talking about. We will play. But some other boys, about three of them, never do that. They are very pious. In fact, we didn't like those boys. Because once, even 5 minutes before class, they're in class, they're in front. What's the other one? We cannot enjoy life. And then when we come, we look like the unserious ones. So it was difficult for me to channel my life to be like their life. It was easy for me to drift in the line of playing. It's very easy. Abi, if you want to do something bad, it's very easy. You just go like this. To do something good, if they say wake up at 5 here, you say cannot wake up and pray. Wake up at 5, you cannot wake up and pray. Wake up at 5, you cannot pray. If they say there's party at 5 here, you will be there by 5 here. It's true. The other day, my friend wanted to bury, was his father's burial. He called me at 4 a.m. I need you in here now. Ah, I said, okay, 4 a.m. He said, I need you here now. 4 a.m. I told my wife, I'm going. She said, this is 4 a.m. I said, this guy does not call except it is important. So I said, okay, no, I'll wait 30 minutes. So 4:30 a.m., I was out of the house. I can't imagine that someone will call me at 4 a.m. and it's not important, and I want to get up. We place priorities on different things. I have other acquaintances that will call me. I won't even pick the call at 4 a.m. That's the truth of the matter. I won't pick it. Why is this person disturbing? Someone called me last week at 6 a.m., I told my wife, this guy is not a serious person. Does he expect that I'm awake at 6 a.m.? Now, it's the person that called me that matters. The other one that called me at 4 a.m. You know, 4 a.m., that time is when your sleep is going to gear 6. You understand? That time, that's the time that you will turn. And scientists say that if you wake up at that time, don't go back to bed. So go and suggest doing like this. If you wake up at that time, you're not supposed to go back to bed because your sleep clock has been stopped. You just need to get up and do something. Because if you go back to bed, you are going to start that cycle again. And that's why when it's 6 a.m. when you wake up, you are just scattered. So once you wake up at 4, I beg, praise God and pray. When you pray, your eyes will be wide open. Hallelujah. But we do not drift in good directions. We discipline ourselves in good direction. Hallelujah. And Rick Warren says that life living in the light of eternity changes your priorities. When you live in the light of eternity, it changes your priority. So when all you see before you and what is important before you is eternity, it sets the tone of the things that you call priorities in life. The priority of a primary school boy is different from that of a secondary school boy, and it's different from that of a tertiary institution person. Hallelujah. And of course, it's different from the priorities of a single guy, and it's different from the priorities of a married person. Hallelujah. But the foundation of everybody's priority has to be spiritual. Amen. So when we were talking about we don't drift in good directions, we looked at Hebrews chapter 2. That was last week, verses 1 to 3. It says, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Which is to buttress the fact that you don't drift in good direction. You drift away from good things if you do not take heed. Hallelujah. That taking heed is discipline. Amen. They say the bad company corrupts good manners. Abi? So you watch the kind of people that you mingle with. Because it goes a long way to affect what you do. So yesterday I was on election duty yesterday. I was a chief security officer. I was patrolling everywhere. And in the night, they called me and said, in the evening, they called me and said, guy, we have refreshment. And when I was going, I laughed. I told myself that, why am I going? Because I knew very well that when I get there, I cannot do the things that they will be doing. Amen. So when I got there, I wasn't surprised. I saw them, everybody. Everybody was with this red cup that Mr. Jerry used to give us that drink. You know that red plastic cup? You know that cup? You know what it means? You know what it means? These men know what it means. When you have that red cup, it's something inside. You know, because people don't want anybody castigating them, so they use that red plastic cup. Whatever you put inside, you cannot see. But when you sit there, you know when you perceive. I had a friend some years ago. He was my friend, so I used to take him to church. I didn't know that it was not convenient for him to go to church with me. So every time we close, we go, because he was staying with me anyway. So every time we go, he would close, we go to church, then we go home. But I didn't know it was a boring lifestyle for him. So apparently, the lifestyle he was used to was go to work, go to the club, go home, find another club to go to. But because I was a pious boy, I would go to work, go to church, go home, and then we sleep. So suddenly, one guy came to my office, joined our office, and then he became friends with that guy. So even during break time in the office, I won't find him. I said, where is this guy? Then one day, he came back from wherever they went for break, and he had stain on his shirt, stain of stout on his shirt. Ah. I said, how come you have stout stain on your shirt? Don't ask me, I know stout stain. I said, how come you have stout stain on your shirt? The guy loud. I said, eh. He sat with his friend. That guy is his new friend, and the guy was drinking, and the stout poured on his shirt. How is it possible that I am drinking and my stout will pour on Blessing's shirt? That stout must have spirit. And of course, I just left him. And the rest is history. Hallelujah. But you don't drift in good directions. You have to make concerted effort. Serious one. That's why the Bible says, take it. You make that conscious effort to go in a good direction. It's not going to be easy. And it's never going to be child's play. Hallelujah. It's like driving in this city and saying you're not going to scream. You know, when you're driving in this city, and you say you're not going to scream, it's a lie. Except you have trained yourself that you won't talk. You put something in your mouth that I'm not going to say anything. It takes a lot of training. Okay. So, and so we also talked about the fact that since the Bible says in Hebrews 2:1-3 that we should, lest we drift, must speak earnestly to all the things that we have heard. It says, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression or disobedience receive the reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Okay. And then we also read Matthew 6:19. It says, do not lay up yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now, of course, we know that popular scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added unto you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Your spiritual foundation should be your first priority. Hallelujah. After you have built that relationship with God, it says every other thing will be added. Amen. It didn't say you look for every other thing. Amen. It says every other thing will be added unto you. It comes automatically by virtue of your seeking that kingdom of God first. Amen. Genesis chapter 29. By the way, it was when we were growing up that playing football was considered irresponsible. Abi? Now, if your son says he's going to play football, even to sit on the bench, you say you retire for life. Hallelujah. Yeah, that time when we were playing football, you look like you are the most unserious person on earth. You have Sangbadiwere. You play Sangbadiwere. That you have a Felele. You keep them, you stack them in your wardrobe under the chair. Nobody must know where it is. But now, these days, you carry the ball and say, I want to go and play ball. You yourself, you say, okay, don't worry. Which jersey do you want to buy? Times change. Okay, so Genesis 39, I read the NKJV. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome and was some in form and appearance. Amen. Joseph was sold into slavery. So he was in his master's house. Potiphar. Slavery is not anything that is desirable. But it's amazing that it's recorded that the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. So irrespective of his circumstances that he found himself, Joseph still understood the basics of where he was coming from. Because his father and his mother had taught him the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible records that the Lord was with him. And because of that, it says, and he was a successful man. If I were to have written this, I would have written it that, and he was a successful slave. Hallelujah. Because if you say he was a successful man, everybody just thinks he's a free man walking on the road, or somebody calling himself son of carpenter and forming, and you know. But he was a man in bondage. Nothing free about him. Yet, his priority was God. Hallelujah. And in the midst of that lack of freedom, the Bible says and records that he was a successful man. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. I mean, I don't know how you see that the Lord with somebody, except that that person's life has an outward appearance that is so different that you cannot comprehend. Because he's a slave. He's not doing business. Right? Probably the way he composed himself in doing things was just different. You know, we all have different ways of doing things. But for Potiphar to see that there's something about this guy, God is with him, it meant that Joseph was strictly following the way of God. And the glory of God was evident upon his life. You know, when Moses was with God, when he came back, nobody could behold his face. He had to put a veil. He said his face shone like lightning. Amen. When you are working with God and your foundation is God, you don't need a soothsayer to tell people that this one has been with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says, because of what his master saw, his master put everything that he had. So it's not something he saw in a day or two. It was something the master must have observed over time. And he concluded in his mind that I should put everything in this boy's hand. These things will prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. So it didn't mean that he put him in charge of cleaning and dusting. Everything that he had. Meaning that even if he had livestock to take care of, he was under Joseph's care. If he had a business, he was under Joseph's care. Anything that had to do with his master was under Joseph's care. And the Bible records that he says that he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Amen. When God is taking you on a journey, just follow that journey. Okay? You know that this portion of the scripture was actually Joseph's training ground for him becoming a prime minister. Because there's no difference in, except the scale, in what Potiphar handed over to Joseph and what Pharaoh handed over to him. But there's always a school for training everyone. There's always a process involved. And if we don't set our priorities right, we'll miss it. Amen. In verse 9 of Genesis 39, he says, there is no... Okay, let me paraphrase it. Genesis 39. I want to read verse 9. There's no one greater in this house. Okay, sorry. So, let me continue from verse 7. It says, and it came to pass after these things that his wife's master cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, Master, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to let you see the perspective, the Joseph's perspective of seeing things. His master's wife wanted him to lie with her. And then Joseph goes all the way and says, look, everything in this house has kept away from me except you. And he has asking me to do this thing. And this is great wickedness and sin against whom? Against God. Now, his master's wife was not God's wife. So if Joseph was going to look at it, he would have said, this would be wickedness and great sin against my master. But he had his priorities right. Hallelujah. Because if you set your priorities with God, with every other thing related to you, that priority with God will always come first. And you cannot miss it when your priorities are with God. Hallelujah. So Joseph understood from the books that thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods, your neighbor's wife. Hallelujah. And he understood everything that we've been reading in Deuteronomy, that thou shalt not have your father's wife or everything. Thou shalt not sin against God. And he kept it before him, so much so that he was not seeing the work he was doing as doing for his master. He was seeing whatever he was doing as doing for God. Amen. Always remember and have this at the back of your mind. Oftentimes we think that where we work, we are working for somebody. The work we do is a gift from God. Anything you want to react within that work, be like Joseph. Take it that if you do any reaction, it will be against God. And they are not treating me well. A slave cannot be treated well. Joseph couldn't have been treated well. Except that the master kept, so he had no freedom. He's a slave. A slave is a slave. I don't know how else to tell you, but a slave is a slave. He's not a free man. Okay? So he had certain restrictions in court. But to him, God was important. His foundation and his background was more important to secure than every other thing that was around him. He could have been carried away with the fact that he was in charge. You know? The other day, my driver was driving. He was driving my wife. And my wife was telling him, follow this life, follow this life. And the guy got carried away. I told her, but I'm the one driving. Imagine. He said, but I'm the one driving. So if you let her use initiative driving. And my wife said, I'm driving my car. Abby? You are driving my car. Don't forget that you are driving because I have given you the authority to drive it. And whatever I tell you to do at the wheel is what you do. That's why we get carried away. Because he has been given the car. The car has become his own. He can do anything. Even when his master is in the car. That's what we do when we do not prioritize. So, when God gives you a job, do it well. If you think they're not treating you well in that job, do it well. Hallelujah. Because you are telling God, if you are not doing it well, you are telling God, this thing you are giving me, I don't value it. Some will say, how can I value something that I've not been treated well? Joseph was not treated well in any way. Hallelujah. Yet the Bible records that the Lord was with him. In anything that you do, what you should look out for is that God is pleased with you and is with you. If Joseph had gone, it took him running away from this woman to save himself. You don't drift in good direction. Amen. You don't drift in good direction. You drift away in the wrong direction. It was easy for him to say, she is the woman that called me now. Then if his master catches, he says, it's not me. But he fled. Even when he left his cloak, he fled. That is discipline. And that's setting your priorities right. He was not looking like he's going to become prime minister. His focus was that this is sin and wickedness against God. Even in things that, in quote, you and I would say, it's just a normal day's life. What I'm saying is that if you have set your foundational priorities right, spiritual with God, every other thing will not be a normal day's life to you anymore. It will be attached to the fact that it's about God. Amen. So you won't do things anyhow because you think that you have it all. Okay? Hallelujah. When people will decide to make it. You know, see, so when you look around, and then everybody will say, everybody, and people may want to disagree. But there are some foundational principles that when you look at, when people that often give, they often receive without asking. Because it's a principle of God. Amen. So the Bible says he was successful, God was with him. Another successful man in the Bible, like I told us last week, was Samson. Amen. Samson, we all know his story. Very powerful man. Very strong. But he let it get to him that he was strong. Okay? And he would do and undo, and he was kind of unruly. And when he was asked the source of his strength, because he was myopic, he said the source of his strength was in his hair, and he should cut it away. Hallelujah. Amen. But the Bible records that it was when God left him that his strength left him. So your physical strength also cannot be detached from God. Hallelujah. Amen. In the life of Moses, Hebrews chapter 11. Hold on. Sorry, let me buttress this story of Samson. Judges chapter 16. And I'll read it from verse 16. Judges 16, verse 16. It says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her with all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. There's something about this story which everybody needs to understand. You know that each time when Delilah came, Samson told her something, and she knew that it was a lie. Huh? And then when she told him the truth, the Bible records that she knew that he had poured out all his heart. That's the strength of every woman. It's not easy to deceive a woman, except the woman chooses to be deceived. Even when she was plotting and he was trying to deceive her, Delilah has no, she has no connection to all the promises we have in God. She's not. But she knew that she was telling a lie. How she knew, I don't know. The only thing I know is that it's an attribute that everyone has. And when he told the lie, when he told the truth, she knew. Okay, so then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shaved off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the folly of man. He says, I will go out. Everything about him was I will go out like before and shake myself free. Okay? But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything you think is physical about you has a root in God. With Joseph, the Bible records that the Lord was with him and he was successful. With Samson, the Bible says he did not know that the Lord had departed him. So his strength also had what? Had departed. The strength he had was because God was with him. Once you take God out of the picture and you refuse to set that priority, once you take him out of the picture, everything you are getting is zero. I think I made an analogy that this building has a standing. No building ever just falls like that. Boom. It's a gradual thing. Every building is a gradual thing. But you will not see it. All you see is that this building was still standing some minutes ago. But internally, because things are not right, it was crumbling day by day, but people don't know until they see it crash. That's what happens when you think that everything you do is about your strength and everything you do is not about God. Yes, day one is fine, day two is fine, but day by day, as the day goes by, that foundation is giving way. And when it will come crashing, you'll be like a pack of cards. Hallelujah. See, when Samson was going to recover, look at what he did. Verse 27, Judges 16. So you know that your foundation is important and what you anchor yourself upon is your greatest priority. He says, now the temple was full of men and women. Okay, so that would not let you see it very well. Let me go for verse 25. Says, so it happened when their hearts were merry. So they have caught Samson, they have tied him up. Say, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. Imagine. So they called Samson from the prison and he performed for them. I don't know what he performed though. Maybe he was dancing. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. So whatever he was doing, they were making fun of him. It was mockery. Because Almighty Samson, you know, and that's very important. There is no Almighty you except Almighty God. If you always see an Almighty God, then you see yourself as that little boy that the Almighty God is making use of. So, verse 28 says, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once. O God, that I may meet one blow, take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. It suddenly dawned on him that all that he thought he had was from God. So, and it dawned on him that everything he had lost was the fact that there was no God in it. And he prayed to God and said, "Remember me, I pray. Strengthen me just this once, O God." So if you know the end of the matter without God, let's just kukuma start the matter with God. Continue the matter with God. Stay in the matter with God. And end the matter with God. Is it a bed of roses? No. Is it always going to be smooth? He never promised that. What he said in his word is that when you pass through fire, it will not burn you. And when you pass through waters, it will not overcome you. That's what he promised. So there will be times when you will pass through fire. When you pass through the fire, that's not the time to leave God. That's the time that he will carry you in his arms and he will be the one passing on your behalf. It's when we always rely on ourselves that will come and say, "God has forsaken me." Hallelujah. Say, "God has forsaken me." In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Amen. Let me read that again. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Hallelujah. That's setting his priorities right. There are some things that are long-lasting than others. Anything that is foundation is in God. It stands the test of time and it outlives whoever passed through it. Amen. Abraham waited on God. God gave him a promise. Hallelujah. Isaac, God told him. Jacob, God spoke to him. Each one of them, they have gone far long ago. That promise still exists. Why? Because they chose to please God in their work. God was able to say, "I have counted this as righteousness for Abraham. And so I will bless him." And that blessing has outlived him. Because his blessing was for him and his seed. Hallelujah. God's blessings does not stop in a generation. He exceeds that generation. So if you are following God, it's not for yourself alone. Amen. If you look at the story of Joseph, everything that Joseph had, when he found his family, Joseph ensured that his family also had that. So much so that he told them, this is how to get these things from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh did not withhold anything from Joseph. Not because of who Joseph is, but because Pharaoh himself understood that God was in Joseph. And Pharaoh himself understood to honor that God that was in Joseph. Hallelujah. I'm sure you know it's not the same Pharaoh that honored Joseph that put Israelites in bondage. Pharaoh is just like a king. Exactly. Potiphar responded to the God in Joseph's life and handed everything over to him. Pharaoh responded to the God that gave Joseph wisdom to interpret that dream and handed the whole of the land of Egypt to him. If I added the kingdom to him, Do you know that at the end of Pharaoh's reign, Joseph had bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh? When money failed in Egypt and they could not come to buy grain again, Joseph had a deal with them and said, you know what, okay, if you don't have money, give Pharaoh your land. So the whole of the land of Egypt became that of Pharaoh because of the wisdom of God that he saw in one man. I'm saying that anywhere you find yourself, as long as your foundation is God and you're working with God and you're obedient, listening to what God is telling you and carrying out that instruction line by line, every other thing will fall in place. Joseph never schemed to find his brothers back. Hallelujah. He just was living the life he understood to live. Even when Potiphar's wife made sure that he ended up in jail. Even when he went back to jail, he was still favored in jail. Because even the head of prisoners said, there is something about this prisoner that is so different. And he also handed over everybody to him. So he had learned in the house of Potiphar, he had learned in prison, and it was easy for him to be prime minister because he had learned. There's a process. If he had truncated each process along the line, I am very sure he would not have become a prime minister. If he had slept with Potiphar's wife, he wouldn't have ended up being a prime minister. The story would have changed. As difficult as it seems that he was in slavery, he had a way out. You know, that was a way out. He could have just slept with Petrova's wife, and every day, when his master is not around, he'd just be doing largesse. He'd just sit on his master's bed, cross his leg, and of course, he would know he was in charge of everything. So he can as well tell the horsemen that drove his master out that when he's coming back, one of you should come and tell me. Abby? And then he would think that he's living life. But look at the life he ended up living, being prime minister. If he speaks, the whole land of Egypt keeps quiet. So don't lose everything that you can get because of one single pleasure that is worth nothing. Let God be your priority. Let following him be your priority. If you think you are being victimized at work, don't worry. Do what God has asked you to do. Hallelujah. And continue doing it. There's one place I was working, and somebody said to me that all this work you're doing, nobody's seeing it. So you need to move away from where you are and go into their midst and show them that you're working. And I said, no. That's not the word I believe. This is where God wants me. Amen. And if God wants me here, I stay here. If he wants me to move, I move. When I move, I didn't remember that discussion. And so when I moved to where the person, by God's design, when I moved to where the person has moved to, I was not smiling. Because even when I got there, someone can say, they don't know you. You understand what I'm saying? That's man's way of thinking. Even when I moved, when God said move, when I got there, someone said, they don't know you. That's why this thing happened. That's why this one happened. I was just smiling. I'm not bothered. I was just enjoying myself doing what God asked me to do. And then all of a sudden, in the space of months, if they will do anything, they will come and say, please, we want you to be here in the middle of this thing. Because there's a way you do it that is different from other people. So all those people that do long leg, shortcut, you take away the shine and the glory from God when you don't make him your priority and don't let him lead you in the best pathway for your life. To you, when you do shortcut and everything, it's because you are looking for honor and glory for yourself. But when you walk with God, everybody will say, wow, no wonder this is of God. And when you have prioritized God, remember to prioritize your family. Your family, very important. If you do everything and please God, when you are doing things, remember that family that you have come out from. You know why I'm saying that? Because it's easy for you to become self-made and say, I even though I came from the family, I struggled, I did anything. If you take the experiences you had in that family away, you cannot be the person you are. See, my father was wicked. He used to beat me. If he didn't beat you, you will not sit down one day and think that I must be a better person than this man thinks. Abi? And so everywhere, every sphere that you find yourself, especially in the family, it helps you to build up either your confidence or your work with him. So when you are working with God, always remember also that family that you have come for. They are not as important as God, but they are the next most important thing you should prioritize. My father is not rich. Now all of us there now. Abi? When I was growing up, I complained, this man didn't send me abroad, blah, blah, blah. The man doesn't have money. I don't enter. If my children begin to complain, I'll tell them, I'm trying now, Abi. Is that what I would say? Don't despise those days. You know, when I was in primary school, every summer, all my classmates, they will go to, UK. They will come back. They'll bring this fat pencil. You know that fat pencil that's very long? Everybody had one. Me, I would just go to a bookshop and buy HB, China. HB pencil. It's the slimmest one. And everybody will be flaunting it. There's a tendency for you to want to say, what kind of family do I come from? But the truth of the matter is that, if you think carefully, everybody in the same classroom, in the same school, pay the same school fees. Abi? So if you have nothing to be grateful for, be grateful for the fact that your parents can afford to pay that school fees. So if you went to private school like I did, the only difference is how they will dress. Maybe they will wear Timberland, I wear Bata, Cortina. But we were all in that school because of whatever our parents could afford. So the ideal thing is to go back home and say thank you. And even now, let's say I'm grown. What are you talking about, my parents? It's impossible to separate you from your parents. Even if you think the experiences were not good, those experiences are not good. Sit down. You look at it, no. These experiences are the ones I'm using now. That God is helping me to see. Because everything that you pass through is to build you up for your next assignment. If you don't see things that way, you will always miss it. Everything you are going through now is to build you up for your next assignment. So if you think what you are going through is not desirable, look at it very well. There's something to learn there for your next assignment. After you build on God, be sure to follow all those instructions. So Joseph, he dreamt the moon and the sun and everybody bowed to him. Abi, God showed him the end from the beginning. But everything in between, God did not show him. And he was not even looking out for what God showed him as at the end. He just was simply following after God's steps, taking one step at a time. And go and look at every successful person that you read in the Bible. That's what they've done. Took a step at a time. Even Christ. At the Garden of Gethsemane, he looked at it. He said, God, let this cup pass away, but let your will be done. So he followed God every point of the way. And that's why we are here today. That's why we can call him our Father, because he followed God. When he was tempted, he had every opportunity to say, okay, that's it. But temporary things should not mean anything to you. The things that are permanent, living in the light of eternity, should help you set your priorities. Amen. Let's rise on our feet. Let's talk to God. Let's thank Him for we understand how He's dealing with us. Philippians 3:13-14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thank Him because what's before us is to help us set our priorities, working with Him, pleasing Him in all things that we do. Father, we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name.